Welcome to the Undefeated Podcast with Sara. Did you know that you don't need to live feeling defeated in any area of your life? I believe a huge part of us learning to live from the place of victory is learning to see from God's perspective and discern what's heaven's agenda in this particular season in your life and in the world around you. In this podcast, we will practice discerning what God is doing, both regarding our individual journeys and corporately, so that we can partner with Him in seeing His kingdom come and will be done right now on earth as it is in heaven, and live our lives undefeated. Hello, friends. I know it's been a minute since I've been recording episodes for this podcast, but this morning I woke up with the sense that I really want to share something with you all. The presence of God has been so tangible and sweet these past few weeks, and we have had so many powerful corporate encounters with Jesus in all of our services here at Bethel, where I'm pastoring the dancers. And I love how God has been breathing something so fresh and new through the dancers in this season. Just a couple of Sundays ago, one of the service leaders invited the dancers to come back up on stage towards the end of the service that Sunday night. And we took this like long blue piece of fabric, a stretchy piece of fabric, which we call the river fabric, and started moving and dancing with it. And then they, like the leader, invited us to come right in the middle of the stage. And it turned into such a powerful encounter where we just got completely lost in the presence of God. And I want to share this vision that I had during this particular encounter while we were dancing. And I saw this massive canopy of waters over the nations of the earth. And it felt like what's described in Genesis 1:6, where it talks about the waters above the firmament or expanse, where the Hebrew word can refer to our atmosphere. And actually, according to what's called the canopy theory, there was this canopy of water above the atmosphere until Noah's day, when it collapsed upon the earth and the flood came. And I saw this, it was like this canopy of living waters that was crashing upon the earth. And I heard Habakkuk 2:14. I'll read it for you guys from NIV. It says that, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Oh, and it was so glorious as like everyone got to experience the manifest presence of God, and that these waters, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, this waters were not the waters of judgment, but the waters of His glorious and transformative love that actually brings abundant life and awakens people's hearts to His saving grace. And I just kept hearing baptism of love, that God is wanting to bring a baptism of His love. And because the glory of God actually means the manifest presence of God, and God is love. Love is not just the feeling that God occasionally has towards human beings, but love is who He is. And the knowledge of the glory of God, it's the knowledge of His manifest presence, which is love manifested. And we need that baptism of God's love so bad. Recently also heard Heidi Baker say she was visiting here, and I've heard this message before, but it hit me in a different way this time. She was talking about love, and she said that you have no authority where you have no love. Oh, let that sink in. So basically, if we are ever to grow in our spiritual authority, we need to grow in our capacity to love. And it's that kind of love that also leads us into action. I've been reading again this book called Sacred Journey by Brian Simmons, which is actually like a commentary on the Song of Songs. And I want to read a couple of quotes from that book. This first quote is referring to Song of Songs chapter 2, where Brian writes that Jesus is the leaping Lord of glory. Mountains, hills, barriers, and obstacles, they are nothing to him. He knows nothing of discouragement or difficulty. So strong is his love for her, for the bride. Nothing can hold him back. He will effortlessly leap with joy over the mountains of her unbelief, skipping over the hills of her struggles as though they were nothing. But then he continues, it is time for the bride to leave the cozy corner under the shade tree. The leaping Lord will come to challenge our comfort zone and beckon us to come away in sacrificial service. Jesus wants a mountain-leaping partner. He has an agenda to fulfill. The nations must be won and discipled by the King. Jesus calls us to a life that is risky, inconvenient, and self-sacrificing. We must be his partners in going to the nations, running together on the hills. We cannot just love him from a distance. We must have a history of running together in resurrection power. It is time to realize that we are not in this just for our own spiritual pleasure. Wow, like that's a really sobering word in many ways, but also like so inviting and empowering word, that this is the place where love leads. And I'm actually personally in this season where I literally feel the call to the nations and to like actually to start traveling again. I haven't done a whole ton of itinerant ministry, partly due like to COVID, but also because I got so many new responsibilities here since I started leading our local church dance ministry like a year and a half ago. But it's been burning on my heart. Like I really feel this call that it's time to actually to start to literally going to the nations. And even though I love it that God is also sending the nations here, and it's such a privilege to get to equip and train worshipers from all over the world who come here. But I feel like there's going to be new assignments to go to specific places. And I also just released this over all of you who are listening, that you would be so in tune with God's heart, not just to go after needs. And even me, I have to really use discernment that I'm not just going to go everywhere where I get invited, but really asking the Lord, like, what is the assignment from you? What do you need me to do? How do you want me to partner with you in this season? And obviously, this is so much more than just about ministry trips. Like, it's a call for a lifestyle of pouring out, becoming that place of like where love just is poured into us and through us into everybody around us, and that we become a well that the thirsty can drink from, that we get to pour out the love of our Father to the world around us. And this requires for us to stay in love and grow in love. And it also calls us into this place where we need to get rid of fear, because it's his perfect love that actually casts out all fear, anything that's hindering us, anything that's holding us back. And I've been recently also reminded by the fact that the opposite of love is actually not hate, but it really is fear. And we get so many opportunities to confront fear in our lives these days. And obviously fear as an emotion, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Fear can actually give us, you know, the survival instinct to keep us safe from danger. However, we are not supposed to be controlled or paralyzed by fear. It should never be the place we operate from and the place of that motivates us. But our internal home base and the place of abiding should always be love. Like that should always be the place where we live, where we abide, the place where we are moved from. And I was thinking of what just happened to me last night. I literally experienced a moment of fear, quite radical fear, in a very tangible way, which is, it's a little bit funny now, but it was not funny at the time. I knew that there was a wildfire nearby my neighborhood, which was started by a very tragic car accident yesterday. But I didn't think it was anything super serious when I went to bed. But when I had just reached probably the deepest part of my sleep cycle, I wake up to this obnoxious alarm. It's like a siren. I couldn't figure out where the sound was even coming from. I checked my phone and it wasn't that. But it was like this ear-piercing siren. And I still actually don't know if it was somebody else's phone who was like outside, right outside of my house, or where it came from. But it literally sounded like it was right in my ear. And I was in such a deep sleep that when I woke up and like literally jumped up, it was painful. Like, you know, when you feel the level of tiredness that you are debating whether you have it in you to get up, even if the house was on fire. That was like the level of me feeling tired. But it was the fear, funnily enough, which in this case was initially a good thing, like a self-protecting type of fear that caused me to jump out of my bed and like frantically run around to pack all my valuable belongings. Even though I was so tired, I threw my journals, my important papers, like my passport, my green card, and my computer. And I also threw in some dance clothes in my little suitcase. It's so funny how your brain works when you are under pressure. And I literally was thinking that if all my other clothes burn, and I don't have time to go shopping, I want to make sure that I still have dance clothes. This was like around 1 a.m. And my landlords are traveling, so I was all by myself. And so I was also trying to Google what's actually happening with that fire. But I couldn't find any recent updates. And I was literally so exhausted that after I just like threw some clothes on and I looked out the window and I concluded that there were no police cars, like, you know, trying to evacuate people from this neighborhood. And I, since I still saw like a couple of cars parked next to the whole townhome complex. So I was thinking, I have no energy to do anything else. Like, and where would I even go in the middle of the night? Everybody else is sleeping and have their phones off. So I just crashed back to bed with my clothes on, my packed suitcase next to me. And I just said a quick prayer that, Jesus, please wake me up if the neighborhood is literally on fire. And I also, like, I had to speak to my own heart to get emotionally out of that place of fear and panic and move into place of love and into the place where I can actually sleep in the midst of the storm, like emotional storm, which was the fire in the natural, because I trust in God's protection and I ultimately trust in his love. And so I had to literally like lean into that place of like, God, I actually need your love to fill my heart so that I'm actually able to fall asleep. And I fell asleep. I was super exhausted and thankfully everything was okay when I woke up. But I honestly believe that this is the season that God is really wanting to teach us how to tune into his heart and his love, and where we learn discernment, and where we learn to regulate our emotions according to his wisdom, in alignment with his heart. And I know, like, somebody could say that it was completely irresponsible for me to just fall back asleep and, before I actually even knew what was happening in the natural and just, you know, regulate my feelings to God's love. But, and also actually, to be honest, I'm not sure how much of me doing that was due to just complete exhaustion and how much of it was like I was able to fall back asleep because of my discernment that I sensed in my heart, in my spirit, that I am safe. But in any case, I think this is still a good example to demonstrate the importance of having discernment, and from the place of discernment, regulating our emotions according to God's heart in every situation. And we are living in times where the gift of discernment becomes like so important. And there are like, I feel like there are constant alarms or like sirens, so to speak, going off all around us. If you watch the news at all, or even if you don't, you can't fully avoid hearing everything that's happening all around the world. Like, there would be so many reasons for fear and panic. And if we don't learn to regulate our emotions with God's heart, it will lead us into a place of living in constant fear. And that's why we so desperately need that strong current of God's love to drown our fears and fill our hearts and wash over us and wash away all that fear as we are being filled with his love. And love is also the only gateway for growing in revelation, in hearing God's voice. And I want to read another quote. This is also from the same book, The Sacred Journey by Brian Simmons. And he says that the more we see of Jesus's beauty and the more we love him, the more spiritual pleasure we experience in our walk with God. The more he speaks words of love to our weak hearts, the more glorious he becomes in our eyes. Love releases revelation to our hearts. With an unguarded spirit, our hearts open up to the words of the King. And I love that. And obviously, unguarded spirit towards God is what he's saying. We are supposed to guard our hearts, guard our spirits, but not towards God. Like, we actually need to let his love in so that we are unguarded before him, and we actually are able to hear his voice that always comes through love. And we just had the School of the Prophets here at Bethel a couple of weeks ago, and it was such an awesome week and such a privilege for our dance teams to be part of that. And I love we got to bring so many like children who actually like prophesied through their dance, through their movement, and we got to hear so many awesome messages and like so inspiring and so empowering. But more than any message at the school or anywhere else for that matter, I've been personally impacted and I'm being constantly impacted and transformed by the love of Jesus. And I feel that God wants to give all of us an upgrade in our ability to receive love. And like already said, that's the only way we can truly grow in the prophetic and hear God's voice with clarity and actually learn discernment in the midst of all the chaos that's happening all around us. And I want to read one more quote from the same book, Brian's book, where he says that you are the focus of his unlimited affection. What furious love, what extravagant love. Disappointments no longer matter when you know this love. What others think of you will no longer mar your soul. When we discover we don't have to be perfect to be loved, that we are cherished simply because we said yes, then we are changed forever. There is a truth that strengthens us in our weakness. It's the revelation of the love of Jesus for insecure, still imperfect Christians. Wow. So Jesus, I just ask for fresh baptism of your love for all of us. Yeah, thank you, God, that that's your desire even more than mine. Lord, that your heart is so for us that you want to fill us and baptize us, and you want your love to be that dwelling place, that we are constantly abiding in your love, that we are operating from that place of love. Yeah, Lord, that we don't ever have to leave that place. And I just ask that you will expand our capacity to receive from you. Lord, we are so hungry. Yeah, we're like little birds that open our mouths to you to come and feed us, come and fill us. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus, you are our source. You're the only source, and you're the only way to the Father. You're the only way to that love that never fails, that unconditional love that's always there for us. Yeah, and I ask that even right now for the people who are listening to this episode, Lord, that you would come and fill them afresh. That, Lord, they would have that experiential knowledge of your love. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah, we open our hearts to you. We give you room. We make space. We give you space in every part, every area. We hold nothing back from you. Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for fresh filling. Yeah, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be blessed.